Women in Aviation, and Lessons to be Learned from the Wasps of World War II. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. Back in February, Women in Aviation International held a very successful international convention in Florida. Among the more famous women in aviation who attended and addressed the crowd was Deborah Herzman, chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board. We'll hear some of her comments today and tomorrow. She started out with a historical perspective, recalling some attitudes about women in aviation from 7 decades ago, when the shortages of World War II, including pilot shortages, were the rule.
Thank you and good morning. I have to say this morning was so impressive. It felt like a little bit like the opening ceremonies at the Olympics to watch all those lovely ladies walk across the stage with their flags. And Peggy, you're right. Aviation is indeed a small world. But its power to serve humanity is immense. Recently, we saw this in Haiti. Within hours of the devastating earthquake, airplanes were bringing in hundreds of volunteers, equipment, and essential supplies to assist in the recovery. Being part of a cause greater than yourself manifests itself in traumatic events like this earthquake, and how we respond says so much about us individually and collectively. Throughout history, women have never hesitated to respond. A good example of this was during World War II, when they were called to fill positions that were vacated by men serving in the armed forces. Ironically, during this period, while the government was actively promoting the concept of Rosie the Riveter, society still viewed women in the workplace as operating in a man's world, and they were a liability that needed special handling. I'd like to share with you some excerpts from an article entitled The 1943 Guide to Hiring Women, and this appeared in that same year's issue of Mass Transportation. The tips capture society's misguided view at that time of how to get the most efficiency out of women employees. If you can pick them, get young, married women. They're less likely to be flirtatious than their sisters. They still have the pep and interest to work hard and deal with the public efficiently. And for some of you more experienced ladies out there, you might appreciate this. Older women are inclined to be cantankerous and fussy. It's always well to impress upon older women the importance of friendliness and courtesy. And how about this last one? Husky girls, those who are a little on the heavy side, are likely to be more even-tempered and efficient than their underweight sisters. Well, I think that these tips might make us laugh today, but unfortunately, many of them were taken seriously at the time. But thankfully, that didn't stop women from stepping up to serve their fellow citizens. Women may have been seen as second string, but the job that they did was anything but. A shining example of this are the brave women who pioneered the art of service during World War II, the women Air Force service pilots, the WASPs, and their predecessor groups. These female pilots numbered in the thousands and flew over 60 million miles in the U.S., freeing up male pilots for combat service. I know that many of you all are familiar with Fifi or Fifinella, the symbol for the WASPs. I wonder if anyone in the audience knows who designed that. That's right, Walt Disney. She was considered the kind-hearted sister to that cantankerous gremlin who caused problems in airplanes, and she was there to help the WASPs out of tight situations. During a 2-year period, these women delivered over 12,000 aircraft, ferrying 50% of the combat aircraft within the U.S. from factories and ports to military training bases, even towing targets for live anti-aircraft artillery practice. They flew 78 different types of aircraft, even some that their male counterparts feared flying. These WASPs were the gold standard for professionalism. When the male ferry pilots began racking up significant accident rates on the P-39 pursuit plane, giving it the nickname the Flying Coffin, Lieutenant General W.H. Tunner called in the WASPs. He noted that their male counterparts were not flying the airplane according to specifications, but that women pilots paid attention in class and they read the characteristics of the plane that they were to fly before they flew it. Maybe this is still true today?
In a moment, how the professionalism of the WASPs influenced their male colleagues. We'll be back with Deborah Herzman of NTSB from this year's WAI convention after these messages. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed comes standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. NTSB Chairman Deborah Herzman is addressing the crowd at this year's Women in Aviation International Convention in Florida. She told attendees how the professionalism of the WASPs influenced male military pilots.
After the WASPs took delivery of these high-speed airplanes, the general reported a reduced accident rate and no more complaints from the men. Doris Struther, one of the organization's earliest members, exemplifies the WASPs' commitment to professionalism. When the B-29, the largest long-range bomber ever built, was rushed through production to get it to the front lines, the plane developed a dangerous reputation after the death of Boeing's chief test pilot. So to prove the airplane safe, Colonel Paul Tibbetts called in the WASPs, and Doris Struther did just that. In a training flight, before she was even checked out on the airplane, Dora experienced a fire in the number 3 engine. Without waiting for instructions, Dora directed the flight engineer to feather the number 3 engine and pull the fire extinguisher. According to Colonel Tibbetts, Doris Struther did everything by the book, the gold standard of professionalism. For many of the WASPs, service to country provided a newfound sense of purpose. Cornelia Fort was one of the earliest WASPs, and she wrote, "We are beginning to prove that women can be trusted to deliver airplanes safely and serve the country, which is our country too. I have yet to have a feeling which approaches in satisfaction that of having delivered an airplane for the United States Army." Service to their country was dangerous and thankless, and it claimed 38 of their lives, including Cornelia Fort's. Sadly, because the women were not considered to be in military service, their bodies were sent home at their family's expense. Without traditional military honors, there was no U.S. flag adorning their coffins. Yes, the job was dangerous and thankless, but Cornelia Fort and the 37 others weren't looking for accolades or praise. They were just doing their jobs. These examples are certainly humbling and inspiring. Opportunities to serve towards something bigger than yourself still exist today. And thank you to the 10% of the audience who's serving active duty in the military. Our hats are off to you.
Tomorrow, how professionalism plays into the accidents investigated by the National Transportation Safety Board. Deborah Herzman is the chairman of the NTSB. Find out more at ntsb.gov. Learn more about Women in Aviation International at wai.org. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.